Hi, this is Anne Merchant, and welcome to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academy of Sciences, the National Academy of Engineering, the Institute of Medicine, and the National Research Council, collectively known as the National Academies. There's no doubt about it. Immigration is a hot-button topic these days. The debate is playing out across the country with animated conversations taking place in the halls of Congress, as well as at the counter in your local coffee shop. But if the issue of immigration divides us, there seems to be one area where almost everyone agrees. Foreign-born scholars, scientists, and engineers have made and continue to make critical contributions to this country. They have come to the United States over the years, stayed in large numbers, and we are more prosperous and more secure in large part because of them. Recognizing that the U.S. science and engineering research enterprise depends on international students and scholars, the presidents of the National Academy of Sciences, the National Academy of Engineering, and the Institute of Medicine set aside funding to create the International Visitors Office, tasked with assisting international scientists in their efforts to come to the United States for meetings and other collaborations. This office is headed by Kathy Bailey Mathey, Director of the Board on International Scientific Organizations.
The International Visitors Office was created in 2003. It's a resource for visa-related issues for the national academies and academy members and for scientists and students traveling to the United States for academic or professional reasons. It provides assistance in individual science-related visa cases, and it works with professional societies to register scientific meetings with the Department of State. We also work closely with the State Department and higher education and scientific communities to identify and promote policy recommendations that balance national security interests with academic and research needs.
Since 2003, the International Visitors Office at the National Academies, or the IVO, has registered 420 meetings, 104 in 2007 alone. The IVO also provides meeting organizers with general information on the visa process, advice on what applicants can do in the event of a visa delay or denial, and individual assistance to their attendees as needed. In addition, the IVO maintains a web-based questionnaire to collect information on visa difficulties experienced within the scientific community, reviews and analyzes data collected to report relevant statistics on the nature and scope of the problem, maintains contact with the Department of State, the Department of Homeland Security, and other agencies that either administer visa programs or work with visa-related issues. And they also work directly with the State Department's Office of Consular Affairs to resolve specific cases.
Over the last several years, some of the biggest issues that we've worked on include repetitive processing of visa applications for those with proven track records, which means they've been to the United States numerous times with no problems. We've also worked on issues involving transparency within the system. We've just been working to get more information to people so that they understand how things work and how long things will take. And we have also worked to increase the duration of Visa Mantis security clearances. The Visa Mantis security clearance is a screening device used primarily for those in scientific fields. It's a secondary review.
Despite various process difficulties, it remains clear that skilled migrants are an important source of innovation for the U.S. economy. Including undergraduates, more than 500,000 foreign citizens are studying at colleges and universities in the United States. Many of the international students educated in this country choose to remain here after receiving their degrees. More than 70% of the foreign-born science and engineering doctorates who received their degrees in 2001 remained in the United States for more than 2 years. Equally important, but often lost in this discussion, are short-term visits of international scientists to the United States. Many of these individuals are prominent researchers, officers in international scientific organizations, or members of their national academies of science. Many are invited speakers or presenters at scientific meetings or need to come to the United States to consult with partners on collaborative projects. Many have been to this country a number of times in the past. They are reasonable, intelligent people, and the kind of people our country wants as friends. The presence of international students and scholars diversifies our campuses, and while these exchanges help Americans gain a critical understanding of other cultures and languages, they may also be the most effective transmitters of democratic values around the globe. When international students return home, they carry with them a better understanding of the United States, our culture, and our values. It should also be noted that many leaders of other countries were educated in the United States. Some notable examples include former British Prime Minister Tony Blair, former UN Secretary General Kofi Annan, and Afghan President Hamid Karzai. Having tomorrow's leaders live and learn in the U.S. assists our long-term foreign policy goals and is one of this country's strongest diplomatic assets. There's also a significant economic impact from having scientists from other countries visit and work in the United States. Department of Commerce data describe U.S. higher education as the country's fifth-largest service sector export. International students and scholars contribute over $14 billion to the sector through their expenditure on tuition and living expenses. But unfortunately, there are times when we alienate these valuable visitors. Again, Kathy Bailey Mathey, head of the National Academy's International Visitors Office.
While the situation is much better now than it was in 2003, in the most common scenario, a scientist or a graduate student is trying to come to the United States by a particular date, but has encountered delays with the processing of his or her visa application. Some of the complaints that we hear regularly are difficulties scheduling visa interviews, denials of visas due to lack of ties to the home country despite clear evidence of scientific employment. We hear complaints about delays due to security clearances such as the visa mantis process, delays despite all documents being in order, and we hear complaints about arrogant or rude treatment upon entry to the United States by immigration or customs officials. We get the hard cases, those that have been sitting there for a while.
To be sure, 9/11 and globalization have changed the balance point.
9/11 caused the United States to fundamentally rethink our visa and security policies, but we need to make sure that new policies put into place make sense and don't do more harm than good. Protecting Americans from threats obviously must be a high priority, but real security will be achieved only by a proper balance of excluding those who would harm us and welcoming those who would do good.
The IVO certainly agrees that the nation must take precautions to ensure security. With selected, thoughtful changes to U.S. policy, we can achieve both goals, making our homeland safer and our economy stronger. The international image of the United States has long been one of a welcoming land of opportunity. 50 years ago, many of the United States' scientific leaders came from Europe. There are the famous names like Einstein, Fermi, Teller, von Braun, and von Neumann. But there are dozens more names like Bethe and Gödel who may not be as known to the general public as the others, but who formed the backbone of American science and engineering. Today, scientists from different countries contribute to our prosperity and security, and they are all shining examples of why the presidents of the National Academy of Sciences, the National Academy of Engineering, and the Institute of Medicine all believe that the work of the IVO is critical. So what should you do if you're considering applying for a visa to visit the United States?
The most important thing, and one that's emphasized on our website, is apply early. That means at least 3 months before they need to travel to the United States. Most of the embassies and consulates have up-to-date information about the interview wait times, and they should consult those and plan accordingly. They would need to take all of the documentation or include all relevant supporting documentation. That may not eliminate all the problems, but it will definitely help. And be patient. If the visa is delayed, they can contact the International Visitors Office here at the National Academy. They can visit our IVO website. That's www.nationalacademies.org/visas and register their case.
And just in case you didn't get that website address, it's www.nationalacademies.org/visas. You may also telephone the International Visitors Office by dialing 202-334-2339. My name is Anne Merchant, and you've been listening to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academies, advisors to the nation on science, engineering, and medicine. Be sure to visit us at our website at nationalacademies.org, where we have more than 3,000 books and publications available full text to read free online.